You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet all of you in the name of the Lord. And we cheer to you. We love you very much. And we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stewart that we have for 22 plus years. And God gave us a name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon. And we've been on here, as we said, for a long time. Many of you are listening right now. Has been listening for a lot of years, we know. Every once in a while we get a phone call from somebody, say, "Well, I've been listening to you for 10 years or whatever." So we hope you'll be blessed with this again today. And so I'm going to ask all of you that listen all the time, this program's not free. So if you've been blessed with our program over the years, ask the Lord what He would have you to do. And this program has to be paid for. We pay for it. And so we could really be in a good place if we had more offerings would come in so we could continue to do what God wants and cover the cost of this program every week so that you can be blessed with God's Jewish appointed times and all He wants Amen. Us to know. And so we just ask you to ask the Lord here today if you would like to, and ask Him what He would have you to give. And so praise God. You know, we went and had a good meal the other day. When we get done, we have to pay for that meal, don't we?
And we also get the waitress
a tip.
We have to help her.
That's right.
You know, they don't pay them a lot of money either.
That's right.
We don't either get a lot.
But anyway,
that's okay. We work for the
that's
Lord.
That's right. And God's been faithful all these years, hasn't He? With
maybe
us,
they
18
give
plus.
A special offering for us during the season. You know,
whatever.
A lot of people like to do that. But you have to do it from your heart.
Amen.
You know, it's nothing, whatever you do, you have to always do from your heart.
That's
and
right.
God says if you give, it's going to be given back to you.
That's right.
Bust down, shaking together right
Hallelujah.
Over.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's right.
Glory to God.
That.
So we are blessed to be on here, and we thank the Lord that He has sustained us, and He surely always will, because we trust in God. Amen.
That's right.
And not in a man, but, you know, God does use people, places, and things to get the gospel across, to get it out, and we thank the Lord that we're also on the internet.
Amen.
So any of your friends can listen to us, as long as they have some kind of a device, a phone, a tablet, a computer. They can listen to us anywhere in the world.
In the world, yeah.
Which is a multiple hundredfold blessing. Wouldn't
sure
you say
is.
That, Pastor
right.
Gene?
Amen.
So I'm just going to give you the information. They can go to WCNO.com. That would be www.WCNO.com. And go to Saturday. That would be on, it's called 89.9. And the name of the radio station is WCNO. WCNO.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's on the internet. And so you can just go there and go to Saturdays and go to 12 o'clock noon. And that's where we are at 12 noon. Look at Raising the Standard, Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. So we're blessed to be there on the internet. And also we're blessed to be on this radio broadcast, which only covers 50 miles northeast, south, and west?
Approximately, yes.
But it's not a very big area, but, you know, we had a prophetic word that way back before we were ever on the radio that we would cover much territory in a prophecy, 50 miles northeast, southwest. And we thank the Lord it reaches the Bahamas.
Wow, is this where Roscoe and Audrey Walks, our sister Roscoe church,
and Audrey
they can listen to it.
Who came to us by way of a program, was trained, taught, and ministered to, and set out,
activated,
and started the church.
Hallelujah.
And so they're in Andros Island, and they are actually, they've been in a church for many years. In, well, how many years? Well, I'll have to ask them.
I've kind of lost track of the years.
I've
it's been
lost
a long
track
time.
Myself.
Yeah, that's right. Temple of God on Andros
Temple
Island.
Temple of God.
In the Bahamas.
Ministering out of a nice site, a really nice tent, but now it's time for the building, and the walls are going up.
That's right.
The blocks are going up, and last time I talked to Roscoe, part of the wall was 8 or 9 feet high, and we haven't seen anything or seen any
pictures yet.
Or,
they're going to get them over here, hallelujah.
I know, one day
we'll
see something, but praise the Lord for that and for them and for the ministry over there on Andros Island.
Amen.
And we want to say hello to you guys because we know you listen to us every Saturday by the way of the radio or the internet. Even the radio reaches there, you know, that's something, but it's
goes
better
a long
to,
way across
the
water.
Better to listen through the internet. You probably get a better connection.
Right.
Even in Fort Lauderdale, you know, or down that way, you would get a better connection in Fort Lauderdale or Miami than trying to catch the frequency. You know, it's kind of hard sometimes depending on the weather.
I've been down there in Fort Lauderdale before I picked it up real clear, you know, and our daughter lived down there.
If you're in your car,
but
if you're in a house, it's a little bit different.
Right.
And not everybody's going to sit out in their car for an hour and listen to us, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
But we're blessed to be here. We want to say hello to you and to others that listen to us in other places. Praise God. I want to mention that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday. We have service tomorrow at 10 a.m. And we also have a teaching this afternoon. Pastor Gene will be teaching this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And you will be blessed by that if you can come. And then after that, we have a meal. And we close out the Shabbat on Saturday evening. So come and be part of that if you can. And then we also have services every Friday night. We have Shabbat services every Friday night. And what does that mean? It means it's a Sabbath. It's a Sabbath service. And
a Sabbath rest
for us. We just like to we honor the Sabbath because the Lord led us to. We are a full gospel church. We're a prophetic church. We're not a denominational church. So we're no denominational church. So we are... we just want to fulfill the will of God and be obedient to what God has called us to do. And so several years back, we started having Friday night services instead of Wednesday night services, which is the typical, you know. So that's at 7 o'clock, and what we have prayer, we have communion, and we seek God's face, amen, in prayer and in worship. So that's basically, and then we also pray on Thursdays. If anybody would like to know more about that, I'm going to give the telephone number, and you can call. And we can send you information, or we can speak to you on the telephone. Amen. So the phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. I always say we're 007 agents for God, because seven is God's
perfect number.
Perfect number.
It's everywhere
seven
in the Bible.
Seven is God's perfect number. You know how many times seven is in the Bible, Pastor Gene?
Many, many times.
Many, many, many times.
On our calendar, we only have a few of them mentioned, but there's a lot there.
Picture of the Messianic kingdom to come.
That's right.
Praise God. So we'll give the phone number again at the end of the program. So if you'd like to stay tuned, we are be blessed to talk to you all and share what Pastor Gene and what we're going to share today about the Day of Atonement. And don't say, oh, that's boring. It's not boring.
It's not boring.
It's not boring. It's one of the very important feasts of the Lord.
It's probably the most important one for the Jewish people.
I think they're all important, but this is a very important feast of the Lord. So it's one of the seven,
one of the seven.
Seven feasts of the Lord.
That's right.
And Yeshua will fulfill this feast, and so we will get into that teaching now. Amen. That's one other thing I was going to say, Pastor Gene. Well, I want to mention we're in Stuart, and we're on Cantor Highway, and we're in the Monterey Plaza. So just give us a call if you'd like to have directions on how to come. It's easy to find us,
right.
And we would love to see you. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Donna mentioned that we're not a denominational church, but we're not a Lone Ranger sitting out here either, like a lot of churches may want to do. We're hooked up with a network of a church that's probably 300 to 400, more than 400 now, just in America and also around the world. And
Christian International.
We're affiliated with them. We have been since 1997, and that's a group that we look to. They're very prophetic, and so we don't just, you know, float out here and do whatever we'd want to do that would be contrary to anything that God has in His Word. And so I want you to know that we do have accountability. And so we thank the Lord for that. And before we start, I want to say hello to all of you. And I want to greet my friend Harley. Haven't talked to him much lately, but we'll greet him today as well. He listens to our program every week. And so as we start here, we want to keep all these wonderful things in mind that God has. Here we are in this season. So today at 4 o'clock, I'm going to begin to teach on the Day of Atonement. I've been looking at my book that I wrote several years ago, and it's available to you for about $25 and maybe $3 for shipping and handling. It's called God's Prophetic Calendar, and it's the prophetic pictures of the Messiah as revealed in the festivals of the Lord. So we're going to talk about the Day of Atonement today, and I'm going to do it tomorrow at 4 o'clock. There's so much in this, I may have to do this 2 weeks. This is the longest chapter in the book I wrote about the pictures of the Messiah, about the Day of Atonement. As I mentioned a moment ago, it's probably the most important day on the Jewish calendar for the Jewish people in Israel. And, you know, they have missed a lot of things that God would like them to know. You know, they missed their first visitation when Yeshua came. The majority of the people, they refused to accept Him as the Messiah. And so they did a lot of the things man-made now that they're put in place, trying to honor the Day of Atonement, which, you know, they're going about establishing their own righteousness. So before I start talking about it, I want to go to Romans chapter 10 with you. If you're at home, you can open up your Bible here. I want to go to Romans chapter 10. I want to read a couple of verses to you. And this is what the Jewish people are doing today. And we need to continue to pray for them, because this today happens to be the sixth day of the time called the Days of Awe, from trumpets to the Day of Atonement. Today is the sixth day. Look what this says in Romans chapter 10. Paul says this, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." His desire was they would all be saved, and that's what God wants as well. Now listen to this. "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God." Now if you go to Israel this time, they have a real zeal for God. I'm telling you, not that Western Wall and all that. "But not according to knowledge," Paul said. Well, they need a new understanding and knowledge of what God's already done for them. Now verse 3 gives you the clue. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," see, it's not within themselves or the rituals they do and the ceremonies. It's not about that. It's about Yeshua. I'll read it again. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So who is that? That is Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. So we pray that. I hope there's been a lot of them during this time of Teshuvah. You know, we're only 4 days away. Teshuvah will be over. You know, it goes from Elul 1 to Tishri 10, closes on the Day of Atonement. So it's a very important season for them. So it's almost over for another year. Amen. And also prophetically, I'll just mention this up front, we can prove from the scriptures that when Yeshua comes back literally, not in the sky, you know, for the resurrection, the catching away, but when He comes back literally to put His foot again, as it says in Acts chapter 1, on the Mount of Olives, it will be on the Day of Atonement. And why? Because that's the day for the corporate salvation of the nation of Israel. We talk about Passover. You know, Passover represents what? Individual salvation. All the families had to sacrifice what? A lamb in their house, okay? Well, the Day of Atonement, they lay up a lamb there also. But the key thing with all this is it's talking about the close of this age as we knew it, one day at the end of Jacob's trouble. So it's the day that Yeshua will come back, I believe with all my heart. We have many scriptures show this. And he even has an allusion to that with a remez or a sod in the Hebrew scriptures about him coming back to the earth literally on the Day of Atonement. And so we look forward to that day. And so I'm looking forward. We were hoping maybe this year we'd be caught away, didn't we, Pastor? Now there'd be a resurrection and catching up.
But we're still here.
But we're still here. Maybe we're off a couple of days. I don't know. Maybe it'll happen yet. I don't know. But anyway, we know that this is the season when it's all going to happen. We don't know for sure what year we're on exactly. But we know the times and the seasons, and Paul told the people that read the Bible and the Jewish people and the Gentiles that came to Yeshua back in his day in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, "I have no need to teach you about the times and the seasons." That's what it's all about. And so he was telling that. And so we have a lot of Jewish idioms in the Bible. If we can understand it, even in the New Testament, that alludes and shows us the time and the seasons from when certain things will happen. Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13 about face-to-face. Well, what day is that? That's the day we're going to talk about today, when the high priest had the privilege to go behind the veil and stand before God in His presence face-to-face. It's incredible when we think about it. So that's what it's all about. And so we have a lot of things. And then Jesus talked about you won't know the day nor the hour. Well, he's talking about a new moon. Every month the Jews look for a new moon. Well, today we know technically exact moment when it is. But back in Yeshua's day, they had to rely upon heralds going up on the mountains and looking for that first sliver of the moon. They had to do that. And for witnesses. And they had to go back to the Sanhedrin when they thought it was there and go to the president of the Sanhedrin. And then he would verify that, and he'd say it's a born-again moon. Well, the moon being renewed every month is a picture of us being renewed, amen, to come to Yeshua. So we just need to continue to pray for the nation of Israel, and not only them, but all the people, the Jewish people all over the world, and all the people on the earth that are locked into demonic cults and different false religious systems and the things that they believe. God came for everyone on this earth. He said he's not willing that any would perish. He wants them all to come repent to repentance. But there's only one way we can come. How is that?
It's only one way.
Only one way. Through the Yeshua. Through Yeshua. And Jesus said that himself. What did he say?
His
blood. I am the way, the truth, and life, and no man cometh to the Father except by me. He said, no man. There's no other way. He's it.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and
you shall be saved.
Shall be saved.
That's right.
That means you have to believe in the work that Jesus did on the cross.
Absolutely.
Because there's no work that we can do. See, they're doing a lot of work over there now.
Yep.
They're doing a lot of work. You know what? Giving, repentance. Well, we all need to repent daily. But this is like the main thing when they do this, because they're looking at this is it, you know, this is it. And they have no place to have a sacrifice anymore.
No temple.
No. And they even will take the chicken and wring its neck and sprinkle the blood. And you can
That's
see
right.
that on the internet. You can see that on the TV if they show it. There's no way. See?
That's not going to cover their sins.
Only the blood of Jesus. Only
That's
the
it.
Blood of Yeshua, who came first for the Jew,
right.
right? And then and for us as well. But it's only by the blood of Yeshua that we can be saved. It's only in believing and trusting in the Lord
That's
we're going to have deliverance, that he can take away our sin, remove our sin as far as the east is from the west. It's not a year. It's not a once a time, you know. See, this goes all year, and now this happens in Israel at this time.
They rehearse it every year, don't they?
At this time. Yeah. Right. But every day is the Lord's day, and it's when those who have received Jesus in their heart, we live a life of walking with him and being led by the Spirit and living in repentance and doing the right thing. You know, we can't do enough good things. We can't do any good things to try to get forgiveness. It's only by the righteousness of Christ. He has given us his righteousness because he took our sin. All the sin.
All of it.
So
not part of it, all of it, didn't he?
But we can learn from the Day of Atonement. And we can learn from what God says about it. Because,
right.
you know, it is God's word. We can look from what God says about it. But see, the Jewish people, they haven't crossed over into the new way of doing things. See, it's a new priesthood. Jesus is a priest. It's a new priesthood.
That's right.
Man can't do anything to...
And that was established years ago.
That's right.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
That's
and
right.
you know, the veil was rent when Jesus died. God tore that veil from top to bottom. A huge, huge, thick veil. Was it 4 to 6 inches thick, right?
That's right.
And when Jesus died, and he said, it is finished. God says, it is finished.
It's the last sacrifice.
You know, when you say, amen, amen, you know, or, you know, you say something twice... Jesus said, it is finished. The priest said, it is finished.
That's right.
And God said, it is finished.
Got it.
So you have what? Do you have three right there? You always say with
three
the mouth
witnesses.
Of two or three witnesses,
That's
right? God said, it is finished. And when God says it's finished, that's it. No more. And so when the gate closes, you know, for the Jewish people, it's finished. So that's why they're seeking this righteousness, so they can go in and have a good year. But we have a good year.
Every year. Amen.
Every year, all the time, every day, because
we know the Messiah.
We know that God said it is finished. It's
That's
not
right.
something that happens from year to year to year to year to year and
That's
over
right.
and over again.
You got it.
God did it. It's over.
We just read there in Romans chapter 10, Paul made it quite clear there's a new dispensation. He was telling them, hey, you can't go about and establish your own righteousness.
That's
There's
right.
none. There's
none.
Only one. It's in Yeshua the Messiah. And we can see this also. Paul wrote this over in Hebrews chapter 9. Listen to this. I'm going to start in... I'm going to start in verse 8. Well, let's do that. Verse 7. But into the second, which meant the Holy of Holies, went the high priest alone once every year. This is what we're talking about today, the Day of Atonement. Not without blood, which he offered, listen, for himself and for the errors of the people. Well, they don't have a temple today, so they can't do that. So what are they doing? They're making up their own thoughts and their own reasoning and all about how they're going to be righteous before God. Well, it does not work. It's man's way. See, it's works. It's not what God said. Now, let's go on. Verse 8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure, means a pattern, for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. Who's the him? It's the high priest, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinance. He says carnal, you know, they're fleshly things, okay? Not spiritual, imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Well, the time of Reformation was what? When Yeshua came, amen? He changed everything. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. See, we're part of Yeshua now. Hallelujah. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This is talking about Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh. It's flesh. See, we're talking about flesh. So we don't want to purify our flesh. We want to purify our spiritual part, don't we? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is a mediator, listen to this, of the New Testament, a renewed testament, in other words, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive what? The promise of eternal inheritance. What's a promise? And think about what we're going to talk about here a little bit, about the Day of Atonement. You know, they had to do this once a year. Well, when the priest went in, was accepted, the high priest, and came out. Well, see, that was a covering for them. And they realized when the high priest came out, he didn't drop dead behind that veil, that they were accepted by God for another year. Well, it was only a covering. Every year, it was the same thing. And he accepted them for another year. But remember, glory be to God, when Yeshua came, rose from the grave, emptied that place in the earth called paradise, and they were all taken to glory, not their bodies, but their spirits and souls at that particular time. Well, then there was a new thing that happened. The sins were no more just covered. They were totally removed, as it tells us in 1 John. You know, if we miss it, if we miss it with the Lord, acknowledge it to him directly with a pure heart. He said he's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin or any sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Gotta get excited about that.
Amen.
So it's something new and fresh. And so the Jewish people need to get a hold of that. So they're going about doing their own thing, trying to establish their own righteousness. And so we know it can't be done. But this Day of Atonement we're going to talk about here a little bit today, I believe is the most important day on the Jewish calendar, because they know one day at the end of Jacob's trouble, the end of these last 10 days called the Days of Awe, that the earth will be established in a new way, and that the Messiah is going to be there, and they have to realize that their Messiah has already been here once for them, and he's wanting them to realize that and recognize that, and they can look forward to him coming back. They should be looking up for him to come back at this time. But see, the majority of them never accepted him the first time, except for a few. We know that John the Baptist was one that believed in Jesus, and we know that Joseph of Arimathea did, Nicodemus did, you know, some of the spiritual leaders, but the majority of the priesthood rejected Yeshua as the Messiah. So our prayer is that they'll begin to understand this before we get out here to the end of this year. But if the Lord doesn't come back this year, well, then we look to another year, don't we? But one year, it's going to be the beginning of Jacob's trouble, you know, the days of awe, and then what's going to happen here? They're going to have those 7 years to get right with God. And that's what it's all about. It's about the Jewish people and God giving them mercy, grace, and loving kindness to give them another opportunity for them to come to Yeshua the Messiah so they would not be sent to hell, that they would live with him for eternity.
That's
so
right.
Let's talk about this time called the Day of Atonement. You know, this is the only appointed time out of all seven of them that we have a whole chapter in the Bible that discusses this. That's why how important it is. So let's go to Leviticus chapter 16 with me. If you're at home, you can open up your Bible. Please, if you're driving a car, don't try to open it up on your seat while you're driving and looking at this like people do with their cell phones.
That's right.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Just listen. You can get a copy copy of this tape or CD today. All we ask for is a love offering. You can make out whatever the Lord would show you and mail it to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Yes. Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida. And our zip is 34995. We'll be glad to get it out to you. You can listen to it as many times as you would like. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I've said this before personally. I would rather have a book I could read. Like I read my own book. I went through this again today of the Day of Atonement. And it just stirs some things up. You know, you can't remember everything all the time. And so I'd rather have a book I could go back and look at it. When you listen to a message, you might listen to it one time and never hear it again. How can you pick up everything that you need to know during that maybe hour or hour and a half that's taught? You can't. So the book is important. So I'm encouraging you, get this book if
you
haven't got
it. And this book that you have that you spent many, many hours and days.
A lot of days, boy.
Yeah, and years, actually, because you still add to it. And it has charts in the back that refer to every single one of the high holy of the days, you know, the feast and the feast of the Lord. And I like it too because Pastor Gene, you have it in it's set up in a way where people can make notes, take notes and write down
whole
on the page,
yeah.
A whole page, make notes and really get into it and really study it because it's really a commentary on all the feasts of the Lord. Plus, there's other things besides the feast of the Lord in that book.
That's right.
As Daniel and the Book of Revelation and some other
Hanukkah,
things that
Purim.
Hanukkah, Purim, other things that you have. Put in there as the Lord has directed you. You just added another addendum to it.
Yeah.
About the law, you know. And so it's well worth $25. That's for sure.
Sure is.
And
so take advantage
of it. I know you would be blessed.
Amen.
If blessed to be a studier of God.
Right. It's not because of me or Pastor Don. It's because it's the Word of God. We want you to know these things because it's going to cause you to mature. And
God wants us to know these things.
And we've been robbed of all these things because of what Christianity did with all this. So we need to know the significance of all this. For our benefit. And we know this is all we're talking about, the things of Israel, but we talk about this all the time. At the end of Jacob's trouble, when all this conclusion comes with Israel, well, all we have to do is back up 7 years, and we can see on the same timetables, the same appointed time, that God's going in his work with the church, and we'll see the resurrection, the catching away. It's all revealed in the Word of God.
And I believe that things are happening. Maybe we haven't, all the harbingers haven't all come to light yet,
yep.
But I believe that there are things that have happened even this past week, some different things, like a couple things I know of. But even this coming, on the Day of Atonement, this next Wednesday, the president's going to be in the White House, and he has a guest, and the guest is the Pope. And so this is the first time that the Pope has been in America. This Pope has been in America. First time he's been in the White House. I mean, I don't know if there's been a Pope in the White House before.
I don't know.
But and he's also going to be speaking at the United Nations on Friday. And he's going to have a huge communion. And he's calling all believers, Catholics, all Catholics, to have communion with him. And he's also going to be, I believe, in Philadelphia. And he's going to be speaking to some of the government. And so starting on that Day of Atonement, he's going to be here in the United States for those 3 days and going to three very important places.
That's right.
So we need to be aware of what's going on. You know, we want to be aware spiritually what's going on in our life and what God is doing. But we also need to keep our eyes on the clock, the meter of what's going on in the world.
Timetable, yeah.
You know, so we see in the natural and we also see in the spiritual.
Amen.
So we can see what this spiritual application has to do with God's timetable, with the Pope coming here. I mean, I don't believe that it's a coincidence.
Nope.
It's going to be in the White House on the Day of Atonement.
That's right.
And yes, right.
I wonder when he takes communion with the United Nations, what are all those Muslim leaders in there going to think about all that?
Well, it's not going to be with the United Nations. It's going to be, he's calling all the
Catholics. Going to do?
Yeah,
okay.
It's going to be a big, huge, I believe, outdoor thing. I think it's in Pennsylvania. We'll know more about it next. You'll hear
the news. Yeah, we'll find out more of it next
and
week.
And so it's not going to be the United. I believe that's going to be on Thursday.
Okay.
But he'll be at the United Nations on Friday.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah, and keep looking up. Your redemption's drawing nigh.
We don't know.
Maybe we're off a little bit, but
we'll see.
I don't believe so, but who knows? We'll find out. Well, let's talk about this. We talked about this. We only have one chapter in the entire Bible that talks about one of the appointed times and gives us a lot of information about it. So let's go and take a look at Leviticus chapter 16. Now, I'm not going to take time to read all of it. We probably could. It's got 34 verses in it. But God's telling the Israel some interesting things. So we as believers in Yeshua, we need to glean from this and see what God's doing with all this. And we can understand some things in a deeper realm in the spirit, what God would have us to know with all this. And you know, we know, as we mentioned, the Day of Atonement is considered the holiest day on the Jewish year. You know, And in the days that Yeshua walked to the earth and was in the temple, there was an elaborate ritual that went on every year involving two goats, one to be slain and one to be led off into the wilderness. And it was symbolically what? Showing the bearing away of the people's sins at that time. The blood of the slain goat, we're going to read here, was carried by the high priest into the Holy of Holies, and then the goat was released. So let's take a look at this. I'm in Leviticus chapter 16. I'm going to read verse 2. We'll just pick out a few verses here. It says this, "And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place." He's talking about the Holy of Holies. "Within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he what? Die not." So he was not allowed to go in there any other time. But now the veil's been ripped from top to bottom, as Pastor Don just mentioned. So now we go in boldly before the throne of grace, aren't we glad? "For I will appear," he says, "in the cloud upon," what? "The mercy seat." Whoa! "Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering." This is, the bull was for his own sin, him and his family. Listen, "he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre, which is around his head, shall be attired. These are the holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of Israel," of the children of Israel, I should say, "two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering." All right? Now listen to verse 6. "And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself." See, the bull was killed for himself. "And make an atonement for himself," listen, "and for his house." So see, he was a sinner himself also. Amen? Now, verse 7. "And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots," just like throwing dice or something, you know, "cast lots upon the two goats. One lot fell for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering," a goat. "But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness." So this is very important that we understand this, okay? All right. Glory be to God. So you can read all this here, all through this chapter. So this blood then had to be sprinkled on and before the mercy seat of God. Let's go on now. Here we go. "And Aaron," this is verse 11 I'm in, "and Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil." So then he went behind the veil. Now listen to this. "And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat." That is upon the testimony that he die not. The testimony is where the Ten Commandments and all were at, in the ark. "And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger." Here we go. Seven times. Here's our seven again. "Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat." You see this word mercy seat? I looked this up one time. I looked this up in the Hebrew. It's a word we have in the New Testament. It's like, it's a word propitiation. It's referring to a sacrifice, okay? Mercy seat. Jesus is our mercy seat, isn't he? Now, verse 16 is key. "And he shall make an atonement for the holy place." You're talking about the Holy of Holies, okay? "Because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness." Verse 17, "And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place." So when he went behind there, there was no one in the temple until he come out. They were all waiting for him to come out, until he come out and have made an atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the congregation of Israel. So he went in there, and he probably stood there with her holding their breath. Because if he came out, did everything right, he'd come out from behind that veil and he wouldn't drop dead behind there. When he came out, they knew that God had accepted what he was doing. So what happened? They had a reprieve for another year. It's like he wiped, their people wiped it and said, "We got another year now." So they did that every single year, okay? Now, verse 18, "And he shall go out unto the altar, and that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar around about. and he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger, here we go, seven times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanliness of the children of Israel. This is an important chapter. Now, verse 20, listen to this. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. This is a live goat. And Aaron, who was Aaron, the high priest, shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat. Listen to this. And confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, all their transgressions and all their sins. All three that we talk about. Sin, transgression, and iniquity. And putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Well, we got a prophetic word right here, don't we, Pastor John? Jesus was the one that came and took away all of our sins. Sin, transgression, righteousness, iniquity, not righteousness. He took all those sins away from us completely. And what happened? He was there when John the Baptist was there when Jesus was water baptized. And so he laid hands on him more like it looks like. And he sent him out into the wilderness. So we have a prophetic word right here about John the Baptist. He was the suitable man that God chose to have this done prophetically in the future. So we'll see all this incredible thing. Now, it gives you this opinion. Most people teach this and say the high priest only went behind there one time. If you read the scriptures in here in chapter 16, it looks like he went in several times on that one day. He couldn't go any other day, but that one day he had to come out, take his clothes off. He washed him, went back in, came out, did that over several times. At least three or four times is revealed in this chapter.
Didn't he take blood into there?
Oh, yeah. That's why he had changed his clothes. Yeah,
because
there's blood on.
He was all bloody.
That's right.
So we had to put on
clean
garments.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to go jump forward here. Verse 23 now. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place and shall lead them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place and put on his garments, more new garments, and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people and make an atonement for himself for the people. That blood was going in and out all the time. And the fat of the sin offering shall be burnt upon the altar. And here we go, verse 26. And he that let the goat go for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water and afterward come into the camp. Well, Yeshua was that scapegoat, but we know John the Baptist was there also. And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and the flesh and their dung. And he that burneth him shall wash his clothes again and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. Now this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month. See, now, here we talked about the calendar last week, didn't we? If most people don't know what this is on the Jewish lunar calendar, well, you're lost. What's the seventh month? It's the month of Tishri. The tenth day is what? The Day of Atonement.
It's the month we're in.
That's the month we're in right now.
And the 10th is coming up next Wednesday.
That's right.
The 10th of Tishri will be on Wednesday, the Day of Atonement.
So he says, in the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. Verse 31.
It's also a day, isn't it, when they fast for 24
that's
hours
right.
And they don't eat.
That's
they
right.
They don't eat food or drink water.
That's
they
right.
Don't brush their teeth.
They don't do a thing
they
for 24 hours.
The strict Jews,
that's
they
come,
don't do
that's
any
coming
of those
up
things.
Next. That's
okay.
Right. He says it shall be a Sabbath of rest. We talked about this. They have the weekly Sabbath, 52 of those all year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they also have seven high Sabbaths that all revolve around God's appointed times. So the Day of Atonement is a high Sabbath. It shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and you shall what? Afflict your souls by a statute forever. It means they're not going to eat or drink for 24 hours. Amen? And then it says, in the priest, whom he shall anoint, and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead, shall make the atonement, and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. That's a prophetic word right there about Yeshua. So they do it once a year. The last verse in this chapter says, and this shall be an everlasting statute unto you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year, and he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Amen? Huh?
We know Yeshua did it. Jesus did it once and for all.
That's right.
And what can they do now? They don't have a temple to go in and do any of these exercises
That's
with
right.
these things that they do.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do? There's several things that differ. It depends on how strict a Jew they are.
You
like
got it.
Some of them will take a chicken,
you
right, or a hen, or a rooster, a chicken, and they will they'll
mm-hmm.
swing it like they'll hold it over maybe a child's head and make a circle three times, right, and then they'll kill the chicken and they'll give it to the poor, or they may give money.
Right.
They may give money, or they spend time, like you said,
in prayer and all
in
that.
Prayer
yeah.
and
repentance
and repentance and and trying to do charitable things. And
there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not God's way.
No, but it's not a way to remove sins from
your life.
From your life.
Nope.
There's only one way. Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Praise God.
So you think about this. Even Paul mentioned on that day, that's when the high priest, we read here in Leviticus 16, stood face to face before God representing the people. Amen. So Paul talked about that over there in 1 Corinthians 13. Amen. Mm-hmm. So on that day, God grants or denies atonement for the coming year for the Jewish people on Tishri 10. You know, we talk about, we mentioned this mercy seat in Romans 3:25. The word propitiation means what? A sacrifice of atonement. That's what this word means here in the Hebrew about this mercy seat. It's a sacrifice of atonement. And remember, it didn't remove anything. It only covered it for another year. It's incredible to think about it. Amen. Now, I was thinking about this, Pastor Donna, this morning.
Well, the Bible says neither your silver or your gold is going to save you.
That's so right.
There in Zephaniah 1:18. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was thinking this morning about some of the Yom Kippur, you know, Day of Atonement, names, themes, and idioms and all that all revolve around this. And I got a few of them here I have in my book, and I was looking at this morning. The first one, as we already know, Yom Kippur means what? The Day of Atonement. The second is called face-to-face. We just mentioned that. Third is called what? The day, or the great day. And fourth, it's called the fast. The fifth. That's the only day that God required the Jews to fast and set themselves aside. Now, they had a lot of them they put in place themselves, but this is the only one that God required. The fifth thing is the day of the blowing of the great shofar, the shofar Hagadol. And the sixth, which is man's number, is called the closing of the gates. That's going to happen on the close.
Well, and Jesus said, I'm the gate.
Yes, sir.
I'm the way.
That's right. He is the way.
We need to look
right
at that. John 10:9. Go ahead and look there. Keep talking.
Okay. I'm just thinking about something else I want to say. So the heart of the service and ritual then on Yom Kippur or the Day of Atonement is the high priest shall bring a bull and two goats as a special offering. We just read this. First, the bull is sacrificed to purge the altar from the defilement caused by many misdeeds of the priest himself and his household. That's in chapter 16, verse 6. Secondly, one of the goats is chosen by lot to be sacrificed to purge the altar of any similar defilement brought on by the misdeeds of the people. And finally, the second goat is sent away and not sacrificed to cleanse the people themselves. The goat is called Azazel in the Hebrew, meaning scapegoat, and is sent away to wander in the wilderness, as it tells us in chapter 16, verse 10 there. Pretty powerful. Go ahead and read that, Pastor Don.
Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm over here in John chapter 10.
Okay.
He talks about the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to back up a little bit.
Okay.
Verse 7 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door mm-hmm. of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers.
Right.
But the sheep did not hear them.
Mm-hmm.
The 9 says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved
mm-hmm.
and shall go in and out
Hallelujah.
And find pasture.
That's right.
And this is the last one. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy.
Mm.
Jesus said, I am come
Hallelujah.
That they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly.
But not just life, but more abundantly.
I am the good shepherd.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
Now I'm going to share one thing here. This might be all we can talk about today. We only got about 15 minutes left. But there's an interesting thing about this goat called the Azazel. Being sent into the wilderness is understood in Judaism to be a picture of Hasatan. That's the name for Satan is Hasatan. Being cast into the lake of fire, as it reveals in Revelation 20:10. And why? To get the proper answer, we need to look at the ceremony of the two goats through the Jewish understanding. First of all, the two goats were considered as one offering. Next, in the Mishnah, when I took some Jewish writings, in the Mishnah we find further details about these goats. A crimson thread was tied around the horns of the goat marked as Azazel. In Jesus' day. At the appropriate time, the goat was led to a steep cliff in the wilderness and shoved off the cliff. In connection with the ceremony, an interesting tradition arose that is again mentioned in the Mishnah. A portion of the crimson thread or ribbon was attached to the door of the temple before the goat was sent into the wilderness. The thread were turned from red to white as the goat met its end, signaling to the people that God had accepted their sacrifice and their sins were forgiven for another year. This was based on Isaiah 1:18. You know, if your sins are crimson red, what? They'll become white as snow. The Mishnah also states that 40 years before the destruction of the temple, the thread ceased turning white. After Jesus died for 40 years, it never happened again. This, of course, was when Yeshua was crucified on the cross. Yeshua died in 30 AD, and 40 years later, in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed. It's incredible when you think about that. Amen. So that was a supernatural sign to them that their sins were being accepted for that particular time for another year. But after the Messiah died, it never happened again. And Josephus writes, even refers to that the Jews find some of the people begin to realize the reason it never happened again was because they did not accept Yeshua as their Messiah. So we have some incredible things to think about this. So the typology or picture concerning the Day of Atonement is further explained in Hebrews chapter 9, which we read a little bit ago. The two goats used on Yom Kippur present a beautiful picture of Yeshua. One goat had to die, as Yeshua had to die, while the other goat lived and carried the sins of the people into the wilderness and disappeared. Wow! Our sins disappear. Yeshua, as our living sacrifice and Savior, carries our sins, and God removes them from us. Hallelujah. As far as the east is from the west, aren't you glad? It should grieve the Jewish people that the observance of this appointed time was changed by their own people many years after God had given them the specifics of this day and its importance way back. Amen. By the second temple period, the Jewish people were actually pulling hair out of the scapegoat and shouting in anger as the goat was led past them on the way to the desert. How amazing that this anger toward the goat, how it reveals what happened. They got mad and upset with it. Jesus did the same thing. They was bearing their sins. So it reflects the behavior of many Jews as Yeshua was arrested, tried, and crucified for the sin. Remember, 10 days before he died, when he came in on the donkey, somewhere saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna!" They believed he was the Messiah. And then what? 4 days later, they were spitting on him. They wanted to pull his beard out, and they mistreated him. So they need to have a change of heart, don't they, Pastor Don?
Yes, they do.
Incredible.
We all do.
So what do you got there you're looking at?
We all need to turn to the Lord, don't
Amen.
We?
We sure do.
Because he's the answer.
He's the only answer that
he's
we have.
He's the only answer.
That's right. So this is an incredible chapter 16 here in the book of Leviticus. It gives you all the details about it. It's incredible. Amen? Anything else you want to say there? See?
No, I was just thinking, you know, the Jewish people tried to do these things over there in Israel and maybe other places as well, you know, where there's a lot of Jewish families around.
Yeah.
And, you know, a chicken,
it doesn't even
begin to make a little bit of sense.
Absolutely not.
You know, and we're so blessed because Jesus paid the price. He paid the price.
For all mankind.
He opened the way.
That's right. It's incredible.
He made the way that Amen. We could come in and we could go out and we could have the peace of God that passes all understanding.
That's right.
We're so blessed, you know, and so we need to pray that the Jewish people's eyes will be open. Because, you know, there's a lot of Christians that are in Israel at this time.
You're right.
And, you know, they're hearing and they're on the land. And why are they there? Because they love the Jewish people. Because they love the land. You know, Jesus, God loves the land of Israel. The land is precious.
That's right.
And, you know, you think about the land. He loves us.
That's right. So much.
We're land. You know, mm-hmm. We each have our own land. Mm-hmm. We each have a heart, don't we?
That's right.
And God's about the changing of the heart, not doing things to try to earn our righteousness. You know,
we can't earn it. That's right.
You don't have to fast for and not eat or drink for 24 hours. Well, I'm not saying you can't, but you know, it doesn't remove your sins. You know,
that's
but
right.
Jesus did fast. He says, when you fast. But fasting, I believe, is to bring us closer to the Lord.
Absolutely.
And God does call people to fast at times, but this is the only...
might be a good day to fast this year.
This
huh?
is the only time that's dedicated to fasting.
That's right, by the Lord, yeah.
And it's not easy to fast food and water for 24 hours,
sure
you know.
Not.
And but there's a lot of legalism in it.
That's
and,
right.
You know, Jesus freed us. Jesus freed us. And, you know, and how can, you know, they thinking about a chicken,
sure.
Taking, putting, applying your sins on a chicken.
How they come up with a chicken,
you know,
I don't know.
I don't know. But, they really don't have any other, they don't have, maybe that was the simplest animal they could think of that wouldn't be, you know, I don't know. But anyways, you can see there's lots of pictures you can see where you can see this going on. I mean, it really happens. You know, it really happens. Not all Jewish people do that. Many people,
Jewish people. Just the Hasidic Jews.
That's one of the days one of the main days that they're in a synagogue. And,
that's right.
And they have to pay for their seat, too, you know. Mm-hmm. But the gospel is free, isn't it?
That's right.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is free. You know, this radio broadcast is free to anyone out there who wants to listen. Now, if they want to give, that's up to them. But everything God does, God gives us, is free. Salvation is free.
That's right. So I thought about this today, this morning when I got up. Being the Jewish people don't have a temple, so what are they doing? They got three things that came up, and this was brought about by a rabbi in the name of Eliezer, who was a second century rabbi, said this: three elements avert a harsh decree for God, what, on the Day of Atonement? They are prayer, charity, and penance. These works-centered justification system, and all this, is certainly in direct contradiction to the Jews' only Bible commentary, the Talmud, where it states there is no atonement except with what? With blood. So this is why they do this chicken thing. So they think they can pray, give chair money and all, and make penance for themselves, and they think that's going to give them forgiveness of their sin. There's only one way it can be done. It's got to be by the blood of Yeshua. So we have all this. And so
they have to turn their hearts to God and repent, and receive the Son, Yeshua.
So this is replacement theology is what this is, you know. We got this thought about anti-Semitism and all that we have going on in the church today, you know, and about that we have replaced Israel, and now we have all the promises, and we're the ones that receive the promises, and Israel's out of the picture. That's a lie from the pit of hell. So there's these things we have to keep in mind and remember all these things. And so they went about, we read that earlier in Romans chapter 10, about they went about establishing what? Their own righteousness, which was not the righteousness that God desired. What he wanted was them to accept the Messiah. And the one-time shed blood of the Messiah would wipe away all their sins if they just come to him and trust in him. But they can't, for some reason, they can't see that. I don't know why, but they can't. But anyway, this is a marvelous time. So I keep praying for Israel during this time, and that they'll come to the Lord, many of them before the Day of Atonement this year, at the end of a time called Teshuvah, and that they might be saved. And then they'll have another year to go on. But they'll kind of forget about it.
A lot of Jewish people really don't know God's word, but those who really study, those rabbis who really study, we need to pray that their eyes will be open. They'll see the prophecies of Yeshua in the Bible and or in the Torah, and that they will turn to him and come through the gate of righteousness of Yeshua into eternal life.
That's it.
And so those who are seeking him, because a lot of Jewish people, you know, they don't know. It's a tradition, you know, going to the temple, doing the things that they do in the temple. It's tradition. It's not just like traditions that we have. Mm-hmm. We follow the traditions that we were learned, that we were taught when we were kids. So a lot of it's tradition. So tradition is not going to save anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, repeating something over and over again is not going to save anyone. So pray that the leaders, the rabbis, and those who study the word of God will see the truth, and then they can teach it. They can then they're set free. They can go and they can teach it to others. You know?
That's right. I was looking at something here in Romans also, Pastor Donnie, in chapter 9. Verse 27 says, Isaiah, which means Isaiah, also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. So it's not going to be a huge number. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. 3.5 years, I believe, here. Now I'll go down to verse 30. What shall we say then, Paul says, that the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. What? Faith in Christ. Now listen to this. But Israel, which followed after the law, the Torah of righteousness, hath not attained to the Torah or the law of righteousness, what the Torah offered. It wasn't there for salvation. It was to teach them how to walk a holy life with the Lord. But Paul is revealing to them here, they must come to the Lord. Verse 32, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law of the Torah, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. And he tells them what the stumbling stone here is. Who is it? It's Yeshua. And then we get into chapter 10. He says, brethren, he's talking about his people that he wants, plus the Jewish, plus not only his people, the Jewish people, but all the Gentiles that were there. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be what? Saved. Saved from what? Saved from their sins and saved from hell. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God. That's what they're doing in Israel right now. They got a zeal right now. They're down at the Western Wall. They're praying, bobbing, putting prayers in the cracks of the wall and all. But see, they're not crying out to the Father in Yeshua's name. So it says, but not according to what? The knowledge that God's given us in his holy word. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto what? The righteousness of God. And who's that? Yeshua.
Yeshua.
He's the only way. He's the only way. There's no other way.
Thank you, Lord.
So we have to continue to pray for the Jewish people. But that's just a little bit about the Day of Atonement. But there's so much more we're going to talk about. So if you come tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
And today.
Did I say tomorrow? I meant today. Yeah, today at 4 o'clock. We're going to go into this in a little more deeper way because, like I said, there's so much in this. We could probably spend two Saturdays at 4 o'clock teaching on this. So we're going to start that tomorrow. So come and be blessed. Today. Did I say tomorrow? I keep got this tomorrow. Tomorrow's the first day of the week. What, is there something going to happen on the first day?
Could be.
Oh, some months.
But today at 4 o'clock.
Today at 4 o'clock. I'll say
you're
that.
You're listening
again.
To this Saturday. That's right. Well, I want to look over here in John chapter 3. It says, because we're closing, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten
there you
Son
go.
Of God.
Show so much.
He is the only way. There's no other way. For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what it's all about, having everlasting life. Because this lifetime is short. But eternity is forever and forever.
That's right.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, and we're just really blessed to be here every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon
Eastern
Standard Time.
Time.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to mention the phone number here, so in case anyone would like to call. We will have services tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and of course we will have this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and then we will have a dinner and close out the Shabbat today. And I want to mention that we also have services every Friday at 7 p.m. So our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Thank you, Lord. So come this afternoon. I got one verse. Come this afternoon at 4 o'clock. John 3:36 says this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him.
That's right.
Until he comes to Christ. That's incredible.
But the wrath of God abideth on
him. All people that do not have Yeshua in their life, they don't realize it, but mm-hmm. they're a walking time bomb. And you know, we're talking about him coming back. What if they drop dead today? They would be lost, wouldn't they, Pastor Don? So
believe on the Son.
That's right.
And you'll have everlasting life, abundant life, life in heaven.
That's right.
And life in heaven. Amen. Praise God.
So as we close here, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draws nigh every single day. We're on this program to raise the standard that you might grow in the things of the Lord. And so as we close, Pastor Donna will say one thing she says every week. And what is that, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy. Thank you.